Hello and welcome to the Performance Physique Podcast. My name is Arj and I am your head coach. This podcast is all about helping you with your running, your nutrition and your training. We take the jargon out of sports science to help you realise your goals faster than ever before. Let's get started.
It's actually a really interesting topic because...
Oh, I think she's amazing. She
one story that really caught my attention this week.
My story relates to a particular TV doctor.
It's going to take away a lot of jobs.
Week in Review.
Absolutely. It's time for Week in Review. And that is basically where I invite two Londoners into the show, discuss their thoughts, their perspectives and stories that have caught their eye. And joining me, it's great to have them both back, and it's been a while since I've seen them, so I'm so glad that they were able to come into the studio. Firstly, I have in the studio Arj Terachelvam, who is owner and head coach of Performance Physique. You can get more details, go to performancephysique.co.uk. And also joining me in the studio, I have Frank Lohman, who's a performer, actor, director, and as I like to call him, our main man when it comes to the Eurovision. He is a proper Eurovision geek. You can get more details for him on franklohman.com or frank_lohman on social media. Frank, just great to have you both here.
Hello. Hello.
Thanks
How
for having
are
us.
You?
I'm good. Good now.
It's hot today, isn't it?
Well, you can see I'm perspiring profusely, so I do apologise.
But you know what? We've had a week of I almost slipped in the rain the other day. Mm. And then I felt really bad because I carry like one of those huge umbrellas when it's raining, and I really did feel bad because I was like, I'm going to knock someone out.
Yeah,
but
I get struck by those all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Poke someone's eye out.
Yeah, and but then I feel bad, but I don't apologise because I'm like, I just don't want to be wet and sit in the studio with a wet outfit, wet legs, whatever. So it's nice that it's warm.
It is great.
Yeah, I think that's something that we just need to focus on. It's 14th of March.
It's kind
finally.
Of, you know, you never. I always feel that you're never being given time to get used to it.
Sure.
You know, kind of it goes from 5 to 16 degrees and you're like, how is my body supposed
happen?
To get
I'll
used
take that,
to
Frank.
That?
Yeah.
I'll take that.
No, yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Can I just gloat? I've been to Gran Canaria. No, it's 21 to 27 degrees.
Wow.
So thank you very much.
You've got a lovely tan. And do you know what though? I appreciate for some people they'll be like, this is the most boring conversation, but I don't think it is, because I think as Londoners, our lives very much are dictated by the weather. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. You know, seasonal and affective disorder is a real thing. And I noticed that being a coach outdoors all day, all night, in the rain, in the cold.
Sure.
I need this sun.
Yeah. I'm glad you say that, because some people think that actually, no, we're just going on about it. But I genuinely think as a Londoner, it impacts everything that we do.
Absolutely.
Travel, where we go,
totally
where we
agree.
Don't go,
totally
what
agree.
We're doing with
Let's
our
just
plans.
Just stay inside and watch TV. Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's like one of the reasons I went to Gran Canaria, you know, kind of when I was down with COVID and recovering, it was literally like, you know, kind of, because in this weather, I don't want to go outside and walk. But I knew it was important.
Sure.
So I went to see my ex in Gran Canaria, and it was literally, you know, kind of in warm weather.
Yes.
You do want to go outside. You do want to walk. You do want to do things. You do want to swim. I mean, you know, kind of, and things like that. So, you know, kind of, it's absolutely, you know, kind of when it's cold and damp.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
It
it's
is.
Not very nice.
It is. So we're gonna lap up the sun, as they say, long as it lasts.
Exactly.
Now, both of you have brought in quite an array of stories, but I did want to throw one at you as well, which I've been discussing with the listeners today, and it's all around this conversation on whether or not it's really worth going to university anymore. Mm. Is there any point encouraging the young, the next generation, if you will, even though I think we're still part of this generation, but, you know, the next generation to aspire to get a degree and go to university? Let's go to you first, Arj. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm grinning a lot because I feel like there's a kind of backhanded mentality here, which has put me on the spot. I'm a previous university lecturer.
Okay. Oh, this is going to be contentious.
No, it's not. Because,
really? Okay.
Because I used to be the individual, you know, the smiley one, basically, ran the university programs and would meet some of the students and talk about future students, whether university's for them. And I was very much on, we're here to help those children effectively before they come to us make the best decision for them. And very often people were unhappy if I didn't suggest that they should come to university, because now many roles don't require university.
That's right.
I've been an employer and I've been a manager and all those different roles, and to be honest, we prefer blank slates rather than a university graduate. The most important thing I ever notice from university. And it does help that I used to lecture this topic, but it was was research skills, just how you identify what is a good source of information and how to critique it, which I think is so important when we're looking at social media these days.
Sure.
So much incorrect advice.
Just interestingly, what was it that you were a lecturer of? Like, what was it?
Sports science.
Sports science. Yeah, so sports that's science. Interesting that even you would, because some people would say, but even in sports, you need a proper degree. You need to know what you're talking about.
It's just specific to the industry that you want to go into.
Okay.
So much can be done now vocationally.
Sure.
And the limitations into our workplaces that as an employer, well, it's very nice you've got this degree, but I want you to be able to do this, 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 and this.
It's the hands-on experience that you're referencing.
What can you show me? What can you show me? What have you done?
All right. What's your thoughts on this, Frank?
Well, I don't have a single degree to my name. And so, you know, kind of, I didn't finish drama school because I went straight into, after 3 years, I went straight into Les Mis. And so, you know, kind of, and only, so it's a mentality.
You say that,
that
so fluently. Yeah. That's huge to go into how do we say it properly? Les Miserables. To go into a fantastic, you know, production like that. That's huge at
it was
such
massive.
A young age.
And it was, I was 19 and it was literally, but it was the foundation of my acting career because, you know, only much, much later, you know, kind of when I didn't have a job and I went to an agency in Germany where I was still living at the time. And I said, well, you know, kind of, can you find me a job? And they said, well, what kind of degree do you have? I said, I don't have a degree, but I then unfolded kind of two A4 pages of my CV and went like, I've worked with Roman Polanski. I've worked with Jim Steinman. I've done this. So here you go. You know, and she would still insist, yeah, but you don't have a degree.
Really?
So to me, this is such an antiquated way of looking at things. Mm-hmm. And I just find, you know, kind of learning by doing. I mean, we've been talking about, you know, kind of when I got into dubbing, you know, I'd never done dubbing before. You know, kind of, I just literally got into it, found that I was good at it, loved it, and developed, you know, kind of technique and everything from there.
Sure.
So I think that is much more important than, you know, kind of a piece of paper that says, you know, kind of, you've gone to university for 6 years.
0800 731 2000, what are your thoughts on this? You can always text 81333, start the message with London, and you can email me shay@bbc.co.uk. now, I'm going to try and squeeze in one more story if we can before we go into a track. Arj, let's go with yours because it's quite a light-hearted, fun one with Glastonbury lineup.
Oh, yes.
Are you excited? Do you think this is quite a cracker then? Are you chuffed about the lineup?
I'm
this
very
time?
Excited because this is me back in festival days.
Yay.
My brother was in a band many years ago,
okay.
And I used to be his groupie, jump on the tour bus,
nice.
Follow them around. And this came up this morning. I've got the list in front of me, and I was just like, well, I'm going to have to find some tickets somehow, you know?
Yeah.
You've got massive headliners, which I think it's a record to have so many female headliners actually this year.
Okay.
You've got Coldplay coming back for the fifth year. Never seen them before.
That's a record, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's huge. But I love Coldplay.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
if you're not a huge fan, I think they're just a great performer.
Yeah. They're great live band.
Hands down. Yeah.
Exactly. And then there's some of the old indie legends like Two Door Cinema Club, Bombay Bicycle Club. I seem to love just
Bombay Bicycle Club.
Shania Twain doing the legend slot. You know, kind of, I'm like, here we go.
It's exactly that.
And then you've got SZA, who's going to be playing Glastonbury for the first time. Of course, Dua Lipa.
Yeah.
Huge names.
It's a really, really good lineup, I think. And I think it's going to be a very, very good summer if that's the way the festivals are going to be at that level.
Sure.
Count me in.
Yeah. Now, are you a camper or a glamper?
that's always the next question, isn't it? With Glastonbury's, are you a camper or a glamper?
Yeah.
So true.
I'm not going to lie.
Go on.
I was very lucky when... So my brother used to get us the artist passes to go.
Oh, mate. You're living it up.
So he was in his band, Middleman. They were doing fantastically. And I used to have all these experiences. And then the very first year, my wife and I went and we weren't with them. And I was like, oh... not sure.
This isn't that fun, actually. Yeah.
So I'm just going to pass.
You're not a camper. What about you, Frank? Are you a camper or a glamper? No.
I'm a glamper. I'm literally, you know, the sheer idea of, you know, kind of sharing showers and toilets with with thousands of other muddy people. I'm like, no, thanks.
I like that. Let's continue with that as well. I'll find out more stories of the week with my guests here in Radio London. But what are your thoughts? Are you a camper? camper or a glamper? 0800 731 2000 is the number. Exactly that. Time for Week in Review. Been having a great chat today with my two guests. Been speaking to Arj Terijelvam, who is the owner and head coach of Performance Physique. So it deals with sports science, coaching, nutrition. You can go to his website for more details, performancephysique.co.uk. And also been speaking in the studio today with performer, actor, director and Eurovision geek Frank Lohmann. You can get more details on Frank on his website, franklohmann.com. So thanks for staying, guys. I know there was a story that you were really keen to discuss, Frank, which has been very personal to you. And this is around, of course, the anniversary of COVID, which is quite something, but in terms of when the pandemic took place, but how it's affected you for those people who've had long COVID and now long-term effects of COVID-19.
That's right. I wanted to, I think, just, you know, kind of put... put the emphasis on long COVID, because I think, you know, kind of it's still something that should be talked about more. So the start of my year was not that great. You know, mm-hmm. I was in bed with COVID for 4 weeks, and with everything, with loss of smell, loss of appetite. I lost so much weight; it was absolutely insane. I had nerve pain, mm-hmm. and just so anyway. So in bed for 4 weeks, which was bad enough. And once I started getting better and wanted to, you know, kind of start getting out and about, I realized that I couldn't put weight on my wrists, on my ankles, on my, you know, kind of crawling out. I've got a loft bed, so you can roughly imagine how that looks like when I try to crawl out of that bed. But I also can't sleep on the floor, because if I sleep on the floor, I will never get up again. And so I went to my clinic, you know, kind of the one who looks after me for my HIV. And so I said, you know, kind of what are we dealing with? And they said, they officially diagnosed me with post-COVID arthritis.
Post-COVID arthritis.
Post-COVID arthritis, which is a form of long COVID. And so, and said, I was actually there this morning, so I've come straight from clinic. And they said this morning, they said, well, it may go away by itself in time, you know, kind of, it may get better by itself, or we have to treat with steroids. We don't know, but it's, I tell you, I, even though I may not sound as miserable as I was for the past 8 weeks, because I'm here, which always makes me happy, but I've been miserable for 8 weeks now, and it's been grating on me, because the pain, I have a very low pain threshold. And I mean, I'm being held together by painkillers and adrenaline at this point in time.
And when you talk about this, some people maybe haven't even, you know, thought of the kind of long-lasting effects of long COVID.
So I had a look at, you know, kind of symptoms of long COVID. So it can be extreme tiredness, and I got this off the NHS website.
Sure.
Extreme tiredness, feeling short of breath, loss of smell, muscle aches. Then there are other symptoms, brain fog, chest pain or tightness, which is something I definitely have. Difficulty sleeping, insomnia. Yes, I do have that. Dizziness. I've lost my sense of balance. And I have a massive tinnitus, which is also one of the symptoms officially on the NHS website.
What's going to be quite concerning, I guess, Arj, for, you know, a lot of people is that what actually Frank is talking about. There are many people who perhaps don't even realise that they've still got, you know, long-lasting effects of COVID or long COVID. And with the kind of work that you do, have you spoken to any clients? I just wonder, in, you know, the world that you're in.
There is one standout individual actually for that. So during the pandemic, obviously managing lots of athletes who were getting COVID, and then no one actually knew what the recovery period was like, so we had to just monitor heart rate and do our best with that. But one individual who was... national level swimmer, he's fantastic, but he has suffered the ill effects of long COVID. No one could quite pinpoint things, and the kind of the unfortunate thing for him was, when he was going to, because he was part of the early trials for long COVID, was that because he was such a fit individual, they're like, well, all of your scores are way ahead of normal people.
Okay.
So therefore his kind of support was, we can't really do much for you because you're already so much fitter than everyone. But for him, that's life changing, because he's like, well, I'm 60% of what I could do before. but he's an elite athlete. So
it's a conversation, I think, that definitely, you know, we've not had enough of. I'm just thinking about the last time we've spoken about it. And it's important for me to say, of course, if you're tuned into Radio London, you should seek, as I appreciate Frank has already said, you know, medical advice from your GP. Yeah. But you can go to the website nhs.uk and there's a whole detailed page and information around long-term effects of COVID. Just because of time, we're going to move on to the next story then, Arj. We'll stick with the kind of sports world, because you want to talk about the Commonwealth Games Stadium in Birmingham not being used for Olympic trials. There's an article in The Guardian which says, despite the £72 million renovation. What's your thoughts on this?
I feel like we're repeating the past again. Okay. So we had the London Olympic Stadium, which was quickly reallocated to West Ham. Sorry, listeners.
Oh, come on. There'll be some fans will be happy about that. But yeah, go on.
And there was obviously controversial issues around that. And that was meant to be the national home of athletics. And then the Commonwealth Games, which was a huge success in Birmingham, it's now been revealed, because of the financial struggles of Birmingham City Council, that they're not going to use the stadium we paid £72 million for, and they're going to host it up in Manchester in a 6,500-seater kind of small stadium as such. And it just rings alarm bells of, we can't keep putting plasters or band-aids, whatever you want to call it, on things to fix issues.
Right.
You know, we have to invest in these sports, these things which are highlights of someone's year, to go and see the Olympics on TV. Or you can't go to Paris because that's a long way away.
Sure.
Let's go see our best athletes in the UK, who are some of the best in the world, compete on our doorstep. You know, it's an hour and a half away from here.
Do you think that it's just a wasted or lost opportunity? Is that what you're saying?
Both. I think it's a complete waste that we spent £72 million on it.
Hmm.
I mean, it was a stadium which needed a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
However, we hosted a great event there in 2022. The Commonwealth Games was a huge success.
Mm-hmm.
And then it hasn't been used since. I mean, to the extent where the local club have been locked out of that stadium on occasions. So what's the purpose? What's our vision as a society, national governing bodies and the government, to do something with the most accessible sport in the country when times are financially difficult? How are we going to inspire the next generation?
And just
to give you some context on that, at the Alexander Stadium, Buckner has pointed out that it would still host the European Athletics Championships in 2026.
Yep.
And he has said, this is no disrespect to Birmingham, but the council went bankrupt and the commissioners only have to deliver statutory services. That means every single item of non-statutory expenditure has to go to the commissioners. It's really tough on them, and they are going through a big redundancy. Whether we like it or not, the Alexander Stadium is not a statutory service for Birmingham City Council. So it seems a little bit of politics is affecting, essentially, why that stadium is to be used or not to be used.
And I think this is where things need to come from. Big government as opposed to local authorities.
Local authorities. Mm.
This is a national event.
Right.
It seems to be happening a lot that, you know, kind of great sports venues are being built at great expense and then are being left to waste. You know, kind of, if you look at, you know, kind of Olympic stadiums in Barcelona, for instance, that is going to, you know, kind of, that is falling apart. Athens, similarly, you know, kind of, and it's, you know, kind of, so it's, I think the problem lies really therein, that you're kind of everyone prepares for this big thing, the Olympics, for instance, and then really doesn't think through. And I thought London did a reasonably good job for that with the Olympic Park and all the venues and how they were planned.
Yeah, totally.
So that was brilliant. But not every host city has
that opportunity.
And you wonder, you know, kind of why? Because it's such a, like you say, wasted opportunity. Because
I should state as well, as I mentioned Buckner, that's Jack Buckner, who's the chief executive at UK Athletics, who's referencing exactly what you're talking about. There is an article also on the BBC website if you'd like more details. If you want to share your thoughts, 0800 731 2000. I'll continue with my guests.
So I thought, you know what? This is actually a really interesting topic because...
No, I think she's amazing. She really
one story that really caught my attention this week.
My story relates to a particular TV
Week in Review.
Absolutely that. We are fast approaching the end of the hour. I just can't, it always flies by, I have to say this, every single week on a Thursday. And basically, I'm joined in the studio with two Londoners. We delve into their stories of the week. It's been a lot we've been discussing around health, well-being, sports. And we're going to turn our attention to one of my favourite subjects, film and music now. Joining me in the studio still, we have a lovely chat today with the owner and head coach of Performance Physique, Arj Terichelvam. You can get more details for him on performancephysique.co.uk. Also in the studio, I have actor, performer, director and Eurovision geek, Frank Lohman. Get more details for him on franklohman.com. No surprises, Frank. It's you that wants to talk about the Oscars, which I do love. Because people are still reeling about it, you know. Took place on Sunday. I know there's been a whole discussion of like the Kennedy energy, of course, with Ryan Gosling. Yeah. But what did you want to say around the Oscars?
I know you love your music.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but kind of, you know, kind of. I mean, your brother was in the band.
Yeah. So, you're a music guy. Yeah. I mean, you brought Glastonbury to the table today.
Exactly.
So Arj likes his music.
I can geek out over a good original song, an original winning song, a lot.
Okay.
Because obviously, you know, kind of, I mean, I watched this year's Oscars for the first time, obviously, because we were able to.
Yes.
That was one of the main reasons, because I don't have, you know, any cable channel. So I watched it. I thought the whole thing was a little predictable, you know, kind of, there was nothing really exciting.
Okay.
But when it comes to performances of original songs, you know, kind of, that are nominated, I mean, who will forget the performance of Kiala Settle a few years back, This Is Me, from The Greatest Showman?
Yeah.
Where they literally brought a bunch of people onto the stage, and it's such an energetic song, you know, kind of, and I get goosebumps still, you know, kind of. So I'm a total music geek, and when it comes to, so I wanted to throw into the round, you know, kind of, what makes a good Oscar-winning song? You know, kind of, does anyone have a favourite original song that won the Oscar? Because mine has just been replaced by this year's winning song, which is What I Was Made For. And that is because, and kind of, I can geek out over lyrics like there is no tomorrow.
The lyrics are beautiful.
Clever lyrics.
Billie Eilish and her brother Phineas O'Connell wrote this, didn't they?
Clever lyrics. And kind of, and what I love about it in particular is this whole idea of, because I haven't seen Barbie yet, but listening to this song, I know exactly what the film is about, you know, kind of, and that, because she sings everything from Barbie's perspective. And it makes you, and that to me makes a good winning song, you know, kind of, that is so connected to the film.
Yeah.
You know, and lyrics like, you know, kind of, lyrics like, taking a drive, I was an idol, looked so alive, turns out I'm not real, just something you paid for. What was I made for?
Yeah, it's so, you know, definitely. If anyone, like, you haven't seen the film, for anyone who hasn't as well, the lyrics are so attuned with Barbie.
And it's so
clever. You've not seen it either? Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
And it's so clever, you know, kind of, when she then, you know, kind of refers to Ken, you know, kind of, when did it end, all the enjoyment? I'm sad again. Don't tell my boyfriend. It's not what he's made for. And you're like, it's so, you kind of, I get goosebumps with clever lyrics.
So it was a well-deserved win then.
Oh, totally. I've been watching them, you know, kind of, their performance at the Grammys was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, that.
And there is something to be said about siblings who are making music together. Billie Eilish, when she was interviewed on the red carpet, they call it blood harmony because brothers and sisters, I mean, listen to the chorus, for instance, you know, kind of, their harmonies are insane, and mainly because they're related, you know, kind of, brother and sister, even mother and son.
It's nice to hear that, because I'll be really frank, whenever I think of brothers, I just think of the Gallagher brothers and I think of Oasis. I'm sorry to throw that in there.
No,
but I mean, there have been so many issues, like, well, maybe it's British, I don't know. I think of UB40 and I think of, you know, there have been so many stories, at least in the UK, where family and music and bands, it hasn't really panned out.
The Bee Gees, for instance. You know,
true.
Kind of, you may not like the style of, you know, kind of falsetto singing.
Sure.
But they, as brothers, they sound so alike.
In tune, yeah.
And so, yeah. You know, so for me, that was a certain kind of, I just wanted to, you know, kind of know, you know, kind of any favourites.
So let's ask Arj, what yeah. about you?
Well, I saw this was going to be brought up, so I quickly okay. went on, online. And was like,
well done, Arj.
Right.
Did your homework, well done.
What song do I know? I'm a sports guy.
I hope you did a similar if research any... for Eurovision.
Well, what's this Eurovision thing he keeps talking about?
Yeah.
And... obviously, there's loads of Lion King stuff on there, which is great.
Yeah.
Okay.
But previous winner, La La Land. Yes. I absolutely love that film.
And that's I love that film.
I adore that film. I totally agree.
I just loved all of that album. Yeah.
What was Same it? Here. Adele, am I right or wrong? Because I remember her performance. Yeah. It was for Skyfall. Wasn't
oh, that was my other one on the list.
I love Skyfall for the best original song. Yeah. I would go with Londoner. British girl, lyricist Adele.
I mean, I remember,
why not? Let's bring it home. Yeah.
I mean, I remember Celine Dion howling My Heart Will Go On, and it was literally, it was quite insane.
You know, didn't make the cut for me, I'm afraid, Frank.
No. I wasn't, I didn't say I liked it. You know, kind of, it was literally, I used the word howling quite on purpose.
Yeah. It's quite something though, because I think you know that phrase that people say is, you may not remember what a person does, but you remember how they make you feel.
Yeah.
I think that translates for film. You may not remember the whole premise of a film, but you'll certainly remember a song. Sometimes, for me, soundtracks make films.
Mm. Absolutely.
You know,
oh, totally.
They can make or break a film.
Totally.
And I would say that's where, you know, Oppenheimer did succeed, was in the soundtrack, was the intensity in which Christopher Nolan used the music at particular moments and scenes, and then lack of music.
Yeah. Really interesting.
Was important.
Because I saw it in an IMAX theatre, so the sound was big.
Yeah.
And what I thought was really interesting, when it went quiet.
Exactly.
And when it went silent.
And that's when you really
realise.
Yeah. Just because of time, I do want to squeeze in, Arj, your story. Well, this is obviously on BBC, iPlayer, it's a show, isn't it? A documentary, Why Planes Vanish, The Hunt for MH370.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So it's the 10-year anniversary of the disappearance of MH370. I am of Malaysian descent.
Mm-hmm.
I have travelled on Malaysian Airlines, so there's always been some kind of curiosity. Ah, just like planes, basically.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to see, like, an update over 10 years, what has happened, or in this case, the documentary, you know, on brand, BBC.
Yeah. But
Nicely done.
This documentary really does outline just how little has actually been done by official investigators and governments, etc. But in the last 2 months or so, it's really up to date. There appears to be a glimmer of hope. Not to ruin it, but there is a little bit of new technology which just an individual researching on his own has found some disturbances in radio waves and radio communications in the exact locations in the exact time period, which might actually identify. He said there's a 30-kilometer location within the South Indian Ocean. And it's just a really, really well put together documentary.
Interesting.
Which obviously then triggered loads of podcasts.
Well, I was just going to say, what is it about like these, you know, either it's crime dramas or disappearances, or I guess fundamentally it's the questions that we can never quite get the answers to that we're so fascinated by.
Yeah, it is.
Does that fall under conspiracy theory a little?
I think there is definitely individuals
sometimes
who have conspiracy theories for it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think also just as human nature, we as humans just always want to get to the end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To know what is the end result.
Like cliffhangers.
Yeah. And the cliffhangers are great on a Netflix show, but you know there's going to be a series two or a series three.
Yeah.
Whereas in real life, it's not like that.
Yeah.
Life is such that sometimes you'll never get the answer.
Yeah.
So sad to see the you know, the families, the relatives of these individuals, and they're just saying, I don't know what to do yet. How can I memorialise my brother, sister,
How do
mother?
I mourn?
Yeah,
exactly.
That's probably one of the things as to why, just referring to, as you've just mentioned here, the Malaysia Airlines flight MH370, it disappeared with 239 passengers and crew on board back in 2014 on the 8th of March. that's why people have been still so fascinated by this story.
Yeah.
What happened. So you've got to watch it. It's on BBC iPlayer. Just before we say goodbye, Frank, you've got your next big show coming up, haven't you? Give us the details.
21st of April, 8 o'clock at the Pheasant Tree. Doors open 6:30. It is because it is in Sweden this year. So we are going to serve you. Mm. Eurovision is in Sweden, in Malmö, for the third time. We are serving you the biggest smorgasbord outside of Scandinavia. And it's going to be great fun. I have guests. I have Ricardo, obviously, as always. Ricardo Fernandez, who you met, my accompanist.
But
we will be coming in, hopefully, at some point and play and sing for you and just give you all the dirty gossip about Ollie Alexander and co.
Oh, well, listen, it's what it's all about. Everyone loves Eurovision, so we would love to make that happen. So people can go to franklohmann.com, can't they?
All the details
for that
there,
for more details. Yeah. And just before I let you go as well, Arj, people can touch base with you online if they have questions. Tell us a little bit about yourself and
Work. We've got the London Marathon coming up.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That weekend. That weekend, actually, 20th and 21st. So hopefully I'll be back speaking about the London Marathon.
Absolutely,
doing some work
when you're here
south,
to talk about that.
Excellent, yeah, and because this is the time now. We're 4 weeks away. People are building up for the big day.
Right. Are you down for giving some top tips? Or do you feel at this point people will kind of know what they're doing anyway?
There is important tips to be done in this period of time.
Do you feel like genuinely though? Because I remember when I was at uni, and we'll talk about university, I would always leave everything to last minute and I'd still get through. But I feel when it comes to your physique and training and sports, you can't do that. You've got to be in it for the long run. Does that make sense?
Things prepared long term.
Yeah.
And a few cues for race day. That's always the
really
way, particularly mindset, because we all know what happens when we get nervous.
Yeah.
The plan goes out the window.
Got you.
So it's about having something in place for when the plan does go out the window.
Right.
I think everyone should meditate before running, because that would certainly help.
It's a vitally important point.
Yeah.
4 weeks to go to a London Marathon. Mm, we're going to have to get some top tips then for Londoners. But are we talking about, someone might be like, I'm seasoned, I know what I'm doing. Can you genuinely teach an old dog new tricks, as they say?
That's how I make my living.
Okay. It's all right,
yes, indeed.
Listen, Frank and Arj, such a pleasure having you both here.
Thank you very much for joining us today.
So much for having us.
And I can't wait to have you both back in to talk more about your personal respective work that you are doing. That's quite something. I didn't realise it's 4 weeks away. Goodness me, that's a bit of a reminder, isn't it, for the London Marathon.
Thank you very much for listening to the Performance Physique podcast. Don't forget, you can find us on Instagram. It's @performance_physique. You can find us on Facebook, Performance Physique. Or if you just head to performancephysique.co.uk, we'll do our very best to help you. It will mean the world to me, though, if you can share this podcast with one friend this week. Right, for now, take care.